podcast about sitcoms. I'm one of your hosts, Michelle Medlin Lykowski Steinberg. And I'm joined by my husband, Stan Lykowski, who doesn't have the longest last name like I do, and Luke Ward. And a moment of silence, because Dan McInerney is not here today, and we're very, 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 very sad.
Well, but he's gonna... not, you say a moment of silence.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
No, he's not dead.
Yeah.
No.
I also would like you to use my full name. I don't know if you guys know my full name. It's Luke Ward Jingleheimer Schmidt.
I knew that. I've heard that. His name is my name, too, by the way, so you can
use it
for
mine. Get out of here. Are we related?
So do I need to do this whole thing over?
I think you might have to do it over again.
Okay.
Sorry.
Record scratch. What are we, rappers now, too?
No.
wait.
Nope.
You said record scratch. I did record scratch, and then you said, what are we, rappers?
Well, because it sounded like a rap. Oh. I heard... You know what? Let's just move on.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Anybody watch something great this week?
Oh my gosh.
I did.
You go first.
I've been binging on the show What We Do in the Shadows, which is so good. Have you guys watched it?
I've been told great things repeatedly, and I know I want to.
It's Flight of the Conchords with vampires. And there's this guy.
Is there music?
No, it's not music, but...
And it's not Flight of the Conchords.
I know, but, like, there's this guy, Matt Berry, who has been in a bunch of stuff. I mean, he's been in a bunch of English stuff. He was on the IT Crowd, and he's been in some other things.
Oh,
and he's got this voice that sounds like this. Mm. And so it sounds very regal, and he'll just, say things like, and she was fully nude. I'm talking full bush. We saw everything. And it's just like, oh... It's just
that's awesome.
So good.
So the basic tenet I heard is it's a comedy, obviously, but
yeah,
everybody's vampires, or it's vampire hunters or something.
No, it's a documentary about these four vampires, that live in this house, and they're a human familiar, Guillermo. Mm-hmm. And it's three like classic vampires and one energy vampire. And he sucks the energy out of
everything.
Like he works at an office, and he'll just come up and be like, oh, TGIF, right? And then you see somebody like pass out because he sucked other energy.
That's awesome.
It's
It's
just really great.
Really great. I am in like a golden renaissance of TV. I watch so much lately.
Yeah, all he does is watch TV.
It's not all I do, but it is pretty much how I spend my eves. But I am currently watching Nine Perfect Strangers, which good, not great, is I guess the best descriptor. And it does, in a way, it completely not its fault, but you can't help but compare it to White Lotus because it's wealthy people on an island for different reasons. So it's just the structure is similar, even though the intent is very different. And White Lotus, sadly, is just, I think it's pretty much far superior to Nine Perfect Strangers. So I think that, and Michelle had said this, like if I hadn't seen White Lotus, I probably would be enjoying this more. But I can't help but say, but it makes me think of White Lotus, which I like better.
I've heard that it's kind of like a White Lotus meets Lost sort of situation.
It's got that vibe. There's hallucinogenics. So there's
a
weird
smoke monster.
There's not a smoke monster, but it's not incredibly far off from that.
Really?
Because they are on part of the deal is that they're drugged. So like, you know, weird things happen because they're hallucinating. But yeah, and I had heard Nicole Kidman is fine. I heard that she doesn't get great reviews for it. I think she's okay. She's not, to me, the most interesting part of the show. So, but I've been watching that, and Titans is really great. Which it's like Teen Titans, but like actual very gritty, like dark, like superhero team stuff.
So they don't have the good song.
No, that would be kind of hilarious if they opened with that song, and then it's still as dark as it is.
Go Teen Titans, go!
They have both that and the original Teen Titans theme song, which is like in Japanese, is really good.
Yes. And do you know it's all the same voice actors from all the iterations?
Yes.
That's so nutty.
Well, what happened was they did Teen Titans, the original, like there was like a dramatic kind of thing. And then that got canceled. And then the guys that created Teen Titans Go were hired by Adult Swim to do like some spots. So they did these like comedic spots with the Teen Titans actors that were like more in the style of Teen Titans Go, but they were a little bit sillier.
Right. It was like a midway between the two.
Yeah. And so they got really popular. And so Adult Swim was like, how about you guys do a show based on that kind of idea? And so that's
so funny and great. I love it so much.
Yeah, it is. And the last one I'll say for now is there's also Harlequin has now an animated series mm-hmm. on HBO Max that is also
really romantic. It's assuming?
No, it's really dark. Harley Quinn being the Joker's
sidekick.
But like there's cursing all over the place. There's murder. Like, I mean, it's treated like psychopaths. Like, you know, like it's treated like, except that it's animated. People die a lot, and it's really neat, and it's got a ton of voiceover talent. Like Tony Hale's in it. Harley Quinn herself is the girl from The Big Bang Theory, Kaley Cuoco. Our buddy Matt Oberg is in it. He's Kite Man.
Oh, I love him.
So it's a ton. You know who else is doing a ton of work is Wanda Sykes is in that, who is also in the other two. She's doing a lot of work. But anyway, I'm loving all these shows. I'm really digging it.
You forgot to mention the other two, unless that was last week.
I think I talked about it on an earlier episode.
Okay.
So I'm still watching that, too, because now I'm actually watching things in real time, where like I have to wait for the next episode to get released.
Yeah.
So weird, but kind of nice. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I guess that's left me that. I think this was last week because I have only because I started my new job.
Whee!
And I'm so excited, but I'm so tired. So the week before, I think, and I probably already talked about it. I don't know. AP bio.
Oh yes, I've tried to get into that. No, I don't think you have.
I really liked like 4 episodes of it, like 5 episodes, because I love Jean
Valapique. Yeah,
she and Abby Shear used to do Ampersand, and they're so good mm-hmm. together. She's great on it. She plays, because you know we're obsessed with The Office, Stan and I, not Luke.
Yeah.
And she plays the wife of my friend Andy. But and she's very uptight. But on this one, she's a different kind of uptight. So it's a really nice. She's such a good actress, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And the rest of the cast is really good, and I like it. I think I really like it. So
I've watched. I'm not a huge fan of Glenn Howerton.
I could see that him.
But
being
everybody that else
is that the main guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just saw that he was on another sitcom that I was thinking about getting into, like
It's Always Sunny,
a guest star.
Oh
yes, it was Always Sunny.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah,
I haven't watched
really
all 15 years of it, but I mean it's like I mean it's basically Seinfeld if they were absolute turds of people.
Yeah,
like, just shit people.
That I watched a bunch of it's Always Sunny, and I was really digging it, but it does like you get kind of numb to it, I guess, after a while. I'm not sure what it is, but like my interest was like, this is great, this is great, this is great. I think I'm done.
There's some really, I would, Mo, you might want to start, I mean, you can start wherever. The Nightman Cometh is so good. And if it's not on this list, on the AV list, I'd be very surprised because it is so good. It is so good. I have not actually read the AV list. I keep wanting to come in surprised every week, but it is like, it's so basically Charlie, who's like the illiterate one of the group, writes a musical.
Right. Oh my God. Really?
Yes.
Based on the Iceman Cometh?
No.
Okay.
Just, that's all I'll say. He writes a musical.
What's funny is that, going into what we are going to talk about, which is the AV Club's number 14. Oh God, Michelle, why don't you do any research?
It's the
I don't know what number.
This is what we do when Dan's not around.
Yep.
We don't know. We have no plan.
Yep.
Dan,
by the way, Luke hasn't watched this yet. He's going to watch it while we're talking
in real time.
Yep.
In real time.
That was a funny moment.
Yeah.
That was a funny moment.
Yeah. Oh, good one. Wait, wait, guys, stop, stop talking. I haven't seen it yet.
I can't hear. But John Ralphio, he's so silly.
Oh, that guy. Anyway, the episode that we watched, which is Fancy, it's Andy and the woman's fancy party.
It's
What's her name?
It's Parks and Recreation.
Thank you.
From season three, episode.
Nine, I think. I think it might be nine.
Well, fancy party. Yeah, April and Andy's fancy
69.
Party.
69.
I think you might have watched something else.
Oh. Yeah, that was a different kind of party. yeah. No, what is the... Do you have the AV Club list up?
No, because that would have been preparation. And remember,
we'll talk about something. It was basically April and Andy... after dating together for a month, decide to host a fancy party together. This is, I'm doing this from memory because I did watch it this morning.
Okay.
And then it turns out, surprise, they're going to get married. And Leslie thinks it's too soon, so she's trying to stop them. And there's also the plot line of Leslie and Ben getting together is starting to form because Ben is like, should I leave or should I stay? And Leslie's, you know,
do I stay or do I go now?
Yeah. And I mean, if he goes, there will be trouble.
Yeah. But if he stays,
it'll be double.
It could be double.
And there's also the B, I guess it's, you would call it the B story of the dating, speed dating between, what are the two women that are doing it?
It is Ann Perkins. And Retta. Oh my God! What is Retta's name? Donna. Retta. Donna Meagle.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Woo!
And so Donna.
And you have the fan. What was on the back of your phone for years?
Oh yeah.
Still is.
No, Ron Swanson.
No, what you had the names on the back of your phone.
Oh yes, and yeah, but they didn't put Donna in there. I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
You're a fan. You're such a fan.
I am a fan. Yeah, I am a fan of the show. I am a fan. I was a big fan of this episode. It did fall. I mean, are we going to jump right in? Should we read?
We're jumping in. Oh, but my point that I should segue us in is that I started watching like this because my son insisted so much. And the first, I think I saw a season and a half, and I was just like, I get it. Whatever. But if I'd started from Fancy Party, I think I would have had a different experience.
I mean, I know we actually did Parks and Rec, and I think the whole point was that it was a reboot, essentially, at season three. You and I had both stopped at season two, so I think that we were at a disadvantage. But anywho, let's do an episode.
And we should definitely re-go back and redo it, like, after we've watched it. And I'm so sorry to that one woman who really doesn't like our show because of that.
She's fine. She's fine. She'll.
She's not listening.
She's not listening. She was part of the January 6th attacks on the Capitol, I'm sure.
Well, we also don't know if her basement flooded recently, so she might have lost all of her documents about how much she hates us.
What I liked about this episode and what I like about the show in general, and this is the season start, like, it is one of those sitcoms that evolves into everyone on the show becoming a family and becoming comforting and having their place and having their role and being the different things that you want. And, you know, it becomes comforting because you know that Ron is going to always be wise, even though he has faults, and that, you know, Andy and April are going to be the crazy ones, but are actually smarter than they appear. And Donna will all, you know, like Donna takes care in this episode, Donna takes care of Anne at the dating. You know, she says at first, like, this is what is it?
To sum zero, or
yeah. She was like, "This is the jungle, baby."
Yeah,
you know, if you get a man, that's one less man than I get. And so, you know, it's like, oh shit! Now Anne has to like fend for herself, and Donna takes her under her wing and helps her out, and in a way that's just really sweet and nice. And I think that's
very sweet and nice.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot more episodes of this type thing where the cast you feel very part of their family and part of like their, you know, there's what the show in general does really well is does a thing where they're like, we're the normal people fighting against the crazy people in the world, you know, and I think we talked about that last time. But then they also learn a little something from the crazy people of the world. And so like this episode in particular has Leslie fighting April and Andy's decision to get married, and then learning, well, actually maybe her way isn't the best way. Maybe impulsivity is okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I really, as we had said before we even started the podcast today, I was driving my son to the mall, which is important, not at all. And he was trying to get me to watch something, and I think it was probably finish Cobra Kai. And I, you know, I really enjoyed it, but I always go back. My default, and especially now, after the death of my mom and starting a new job and losing a job, et cetera, has always been The Office, and it's my comfort zone. And I've really been leaning hard on it. And he was like, "Mom, you should try Parks and Rec for your anxiety." Like my 12-year-old son is, you know, medicating me with television, which I appreciate. So last night as I was watching it, I just sat and I watched more and more and more. And Stan was like, "Is this going to be your new show?" And it might be.
Really?
Well,
yeah.
I'm pleasantly surprised to hear that. Yeah, there's a lot of little lovely things. And there's a, yeah. Sorry, Stan, I cut you off.
I was just going to say, we'll get ready for the bomb drop. I thought this was an amazing episode.
What?
Yeah, for real.
Guys, hold it. Hold it. Hold it. I need to take this in.
Okay.
Oh my God.
It's so good because very much with where you open, to me, it had everybody's got their part. Jean Ralphio is in it. Yeah. You know, like everybody played their role to me, I'm guessing this is where they hit their stride. It felt like a season ender to me because everything just felt so perfectly put in place to give you a really happy end. I was really shocked that this was just like a regular mid-season episode because there was so much in it.
Yeah, I will say no, not even close to hitting their stride.
Wow, amazing!
It is definitely a. I mean, they're definitely figuring out the formula. Which is amazing. I mean, they're starting to learn what works.
Right.
But they don't hit their stride for a few more years. And you can kind of see they're not totally comfortable in all of their roles or what they're supposed to do just yet. But, they're having fun and they get much better at that. Did we talk about the one where with Snakebite? I think that. Where Tom Aziz Ansari like makes this drink.
And he basically great one. We did. It was one of the ones that we reviewed.
Yeah, that's another fun one. But that's another one where they're trying to figure out who they are. Is an ensemble. But yeah, no, they do a slow burn to a strong hitting their stride ensemble, which is great.
The balance I loved in this episode, written by Katie Dippold, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right.
It's a great mix of story and joke. Like, yes. There's so many great, like, things that made me laugh so much is, like, that one creepy friend they have that freaks everybody out.
He is so great.
It's so great. And but then Rob Lowe's character freaks him out.
Yes.
And also just the one shot of Rob Lowe dancing.
Yes.
Like, it's not really a joke, but it's hilarious. And the other thing is April's sister is such a great joke. It's like, she's April like upped 10%.
Yeah.
But she gives the wedding speech and then they cut to April and she's crying. Yeah. Like she gives the most mundane speech.
I love that this speech ends with, "By the way, I lost a gray hoodie if anyone's found it." And April just comes up and cries. And,
yeah. So
I love the joke where, Ron is consoling Leslie about marriage and he's like, "You know, I planned everything out and I've been married twice." And he's like, "And then both ended in divorce and effigies." And Leslie says, "Wait, weren't you married three times?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, that means I can make another effigy."
Yeah.
And then it cuts to his talking head and he's like, "The secret to a good effigy is dipping it in linseed oil or something." It just,
He's just so lovely and wonderful. Yeah.
Not that I admit The Office is definitely my ride or die, but like in terms of, and I think I said this for Parks and Rec, but in terms of unique characters, Bron Swanson is probably the singular most unique character I've maybe ever seen in a sitcom.
I would love to see him next to Dwight. I would love to see that interaction.
Well, what's interesting about a lot of, you know, and I think they did this on The Office too, but a lot of, or okay, I only know of two things, but the whole Ron as a woodworker and as a maker and understanding comes from Nick Offerman.
I mean, yeah.
He's a big,
right.
You know, and so when they found that out right away, and they've just evolved that, and that's a very quirky character trait that just came from the actor himself. But also Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe, this is the most Rob Lowe character, you know.
He's a health nut.
Into fitness, and he's
and he says literally all the time, and they added that in.
So oh, really?
Good. Oh, yeah.
That's really funny.
It was great. I love also, I mean, this was a crosstown bus joke, but the Tom preparing the speech and like everybody's speaking. Tom, you know, Tom wants to be the best yep. man.
Yeah.
And so they're all like, he's trying to figure out the best speech and like everybody's giving speeches and then the grandma speaks and the grandma gets up and Chris is just like, well, no one can do better than that. So let's just go back to dancing.
Yeah. It's weird. It's funny because nobody would ever say that. Like, you know, like, so good. Also, a really great cold open. The tooth, Ron pretends that he's got a toothache and he actually, in front of a room full of his staff, pulls out pliers and takes his tooth out. We learn later that the tooth was taken out the day before by an actual dentist, but he just wanted to like assert power. Such a great, simple little like encapsulated thing.
Oh, it's so, yeah, it's just a, it's such a, yeah, it's amazing.
And he's like, I love it when Tom faints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the idea that he faints more than once.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like when we like something, the episode's shorter.
Yeah. Just,
it's interesting.
Well, I know.
I don't know what we're banking this one against. I don't know what the current leader is.
I don't either.
Isn't it Flight of the Conchords?
Has it survived that long?
But didn't Larry Sanders? Did Larry Sanders beat it?
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe it did. Jesus, we can't do this without Dan, you guys. This is really hard.
Honestly.
Let me see if I can figure out.
Dan is just pulling his hair out wherever he is right now.
Would it go over Flight of the Conchords or Larry Sanders?
To me, it definitely beats Flight of the Conchords for me. I actually think it might beat Larry Sanders because I think the story might be better. The fact that it's a party that was essentially a wedding revealed in the first 10 minutes, I thought was just wonderful. A really great high stakes move. So many singular jokes made me laugh. I did like, the pieces snap together really well in this episode, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. It all goes back to where we even started the podcast. What's a sitcom to you? To me, this feels a little bit more sitcom-y. Mm. I'm going to vote for it.
Okay. Well, I definitely think it beats Flight of the Conchords because there's an emotionality to it that I didn't think was there in Flight of the Conchords. But there was so much happening with Larry Sanders that I just loved. You know, it's the finality of Larry Sanders versus this one-off episode of Parks and Rec is hard to mm-hmm. compare. Like, if it was like the finale of Parks and Rec versus the finale of Larry Sanders, I think I'd have to go more Parks and Rec. But I think for this, I'm going to go Larry Sanders, okay. Which means Mo has to break the tie.
Wow. Oh, man.
Oh, God.
That's a tough one. And I went for Parks and Rec.
I know.
You went for it.
What is happening? Up is down.
Left is right. Orange is a square.
I'm actually going with Larry. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. It's all about the guy from X-Files.
Yeah, that scene is so great.
Duchovny?
David Duchovny, why won't you love me? I... was upset, just like how short that little thing was.
And then he opens his legs.
And he opens.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
How short is the little thing?
You guys have shamefully given me the absolute best spot to be in because I am completely happy Larry Sanders won, but okay. I get to say I voted for Parks and Rec.
No, as we get closer to these, it gets harder and harder, mm-hmm. and that is not an easy
That's
thing.
That's what she said.
Nice. All right, but wouldn't it be hilarious if Larry Sanders hadn't won and now it really was Flight of the Conchords? Either way, it beat both of them, Dan.
Yeah.
And others.
Yeah, it's funny because I loved Flight of the Conchords, but also stinks? Like, just doing this the way we do it, they suffer from just being longer ago that we've seen them. You know what I mean? It's almost like we would almost have to, you can't watch it 10 times, I guess, but it's almost like you should watch one and then the other so that they're both fresh, but we're not going to do that.
It does. Also, none of this matters. This is all, life is just a giant void of sadness, and I'm sorry.
Hey, wait, no.
I gave a $5,000 check that I thought we were giving to the winning episode.
No.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah. So, well, you know what?
Larry Sanders won, and we're going to talk about what's for next week.
Yeah, what's next week?
Please watch Friends, the one with the embryo.
Oh no! Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. What a weird name for an episode.
That's a good one. Okay.
I'm just trying to remember, was it Phoebe's embryos?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yep. And they were triplets.
My sister's gonna have my baby!
Dang, you don't remember?
I've never seen that show.
Come on.
Her brother is so good. What is his name?
Giovanni Ribisi.
Giovanni Ribisi.
What I mean,
he's great.
He's what?
Yeah.
Sorry,
real quick.
He's also a Scientologist.
What we do in the shadows, what's amazing about it, is there the vampires are from like these non-existent European nations. Mm. So they're just these the two of them, one is English, but two of them have these unbelievably cartoony fake accents.
Oh, that's fun.
It's just great. It's just like, we are going to do the battle. It's like this weird, like not even Transylvanian, you know, it's just like my familiar Guillermo, he did a lot of slaughter.
I can do is think, eat some spaghetti. okay, so guys, you know what your job is. You have to watch Friends, the one with the episode. Nope, the one with the embryo before next week.
Yep.
That would be funny if it was the one with the episode. I wish it was
Dan, we wish you luck on editing and piecing this together.
Yeah, God bless. Yeah. God bless.
You're doing the Lord's work.
Yep.
Somebody's gonna do it. Anyway, I am Michelle Lykowski, and I really thank you so much for listening to our show. And I'm joined by
Stan Lykowski.
And I'm Luke Ward, and I also thank you for listening to the show and rating and reviewing.
Yeah.
If you would.
Oh, also I hear that subscribing is important.
Yep.
And downloading? I don't know.
I don't know.
So what you gotta do?
Yeah. Be yourselves.
What are you gonna do?
All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been another effing podcast about sitcoms. The music for our theme song is by Ryan Satoy, and the lyrics and vocals are by our own Michelle Lykowski. Our logo was created by Luke Ward. Follow us on Instagram, and if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, well, we'd certainly appreciate it. Another effing podcast about sitcoms will return in this time slot next week.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.